We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Tuesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com and the Audacy app, along with NFL analyst Mike Dettillier, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Charlie Long at Master Control, taking your calls on our Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. Tim Dettillier, former Lutcher football coach, will join us at 4:30. Kevin Mawai next hour at 5:20, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Colts assistant O-line coach. And also we'll talk to Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans, about tonight's draft lottery in which the Pelicans have the Lakers' odds of maybe getting the top 10 pick. That'll be just another great addition, fellas, to an already talented squad with the Pels.
Well, it's not might get a top 10. It's like 99.6. Why is that 100%? I don't understand. Well, what is 0.4? I mean, I'm looking at that.
On your interest rates, do they give you 10 or do they give you 9?
Well, the point being is that you might say, well, it's not unrealistic that this pick could land in the top four. It's like 26.2%. I mean, look, like 4%, you'd be the number one overall. Are we going to three-peat? I mean, you look what happened with Anthony Davis, what happened with Zion.
Wasn't there a small chance with both of those? Didn't we?
No, the odds were big.
Yeah,
they were really long for you to hit that first pick.
Not for Zion, but for AD.
For both of them, yes. Christian, it was not. It was like, what? I remember Deke Bellavia freaking out when we got Anthony Davis.
I remember. I
thought it was his birthday celebration or something. But, no, it was unbelievable. So even by, you know, when you look in the crystal ball, what's going to happen in the future and the decline of the Lakers. And seeing that pick is really, you know, in theory, you know how it's the Lakers' pick, but we get it. So, you know, when you describe that the Lakers are going to make the pick and the Pelicans benefit, you know how they switch hats or the envelope or whatever comes about with that. But now you're going to have the Pelicans, the only playoff team, and you look at the top 10 and where we're at. So, hey, I think the Pelicans, where they're at right now, the vision that they had and that the Lakers would go downhill with LeBron and his age, and now we didn't know where, so Westbrook would be that negative influence that he was. But, I mean, right now where the Pelicans are at, they're sitting pretty, and everyone's optimistic about next season and who they can add maybe a piece of the puzzle over there. Somehow, I still say that you can't miss almost. You can always miss. But if you have a top four pick, you look at the lottery. You want to be in the draft.
Top
lottery.
Four pick, man, and right. You could maybe get a shot at Jaden Ivey from Purdue,
or even the kid from Auburn.
Yeah,
but Bruce Pearl saying.
Jabari Smith.
Yeah, that Jabari Smith. That boy, then you really benefit in your ball club. So it'll be interesting to see how that's going to unfold.
Our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. LSU and Northwestern State. Bobby's alum. Taking on the Tigers tonight at 6:30 from Alec Box Stadium. We'll have it live for you. At first pitch at 6:30. We're just getting started here on Sports Talk on WWL.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick. Bobby, what we got on our Oakland Heart Jewelers text line?
Well, I kind of agree with this text, sir, and it's all in all capitals. I mean, I don't think Donald Trump is sending this, but it's all caps. this is from 8873. Hey, crew, to who that nation needs to get on board, or who that fans, however you describe it, needs to get on board. The Saints will take names and kick ass in 2022 fashion. Who that? I'm telling you, I'm all on board with that. Christian, I had that segment with you on Friday, And all of a sudden, Jarvis Landry's on board. And I was on that Jarvis Landry train. And I said, well, I said, I hope the Saints get him, but it'd have to be on the Saints' terms. Boy, talk about a hometown discount. I think Jarvis Landry went above and beyond board. So when you look at where the Saints are at right now, you know, the only one who could truly screw up the Saints is Jameis Winston. Now, I don't know what Jameis is going to do. I hope he plays great. If Jameis Winston plays great, I could see 11 or 12 wins. Now, I'm talking about great. I'm not talking about good or very good. I'm talking about great. Amongst the best in the league, 11 or 12 wins. Now, if he struggles before Jarvis Landry, I was like, I think the team's that good, 8 wins. But now I'm like 9, but I'd be disappointed if we don't get to double digit. I think
10 is realistic.
Yeah. That 10 would be realistic, but a lot of it is going to have to do with Jameis Winston. And there's no excuses because it's supporting class. You might say, like, look at all position groups, not individual players, because we're not as good at the guard position like we've been under Sean Payton. Come on. When you have Jari Evans.
And you're not as good at tackle.
Yeah. But
today.
Because we don't know what Trevor Penning's going to do. And he's to be like Teron
he's
Armstead.
A rookie.
You hit the lottery. But I look at the garbage. But the offensive line as a whole, I think they can hold their own. Now you look at the receiving core. Tight end, I think Taysom is going to surprise us. I don't know about a run blocker. He's going to put the effort in there. But as far as a pass receiving tight end, how are they going to utilize him? I think he's going to be an asset. Now, damn, Alvin Kamara, why did you screw up in Las Vegas? That I don't know. I don't know about that running back position. But you look overall defense. I think overall defense, we're better than we were last year.
On paper, I would agree.
On paper, then you look at, okay, you might say.
You got better players inside.
Now,
a defensive tackle.
Yeah, and you might say, they're still not on the level of like a Sheldon Rankins and the guy we got from the Patriots who went to the Jaguars.
Brown.
Malcolm Brown. Okay, because I don't think Shai Tuttle is there yet. But then you look at all the other, the secondary, man, I think we're going to have a kick-ass. You know, we got a kick-ass wide receiving group right now. We got a kick-ass secondary. And look how the game is structured today. Oh. That's why I think a lot of pressure is going to be on Jameis and what he does to have the utmost success.
I think the defensive line's going to be better. Now, here's the deal. You brought in Kentavious Street and Jalen Johnson. Both those guys have played in the NFL at defensive tackle. If you can get a healthy Passano, who can play both defensive and defensive tackle, but your first-round pick got to come through for you.
Davenport?
Peyton Turner.
Peyton Turner. I know what Davenport can do if he's healthy. I know what he can do.
Peyton Turner might take a while like Davenport. Davenport, if he wants to get paid in the future like Trey Hendrickson, there's no reason. If Davenport could play a whole season, wouldn't you say he's going to get double-digit sacks?
He's going to get 12.
Yeah, yes.
If he could stay healthy,
yes.
Bobby, for 17 games.
Bobby and Mike, when he's on the field and healthy, I think he's one of your best defensive players.
He's the best.
When he's on the field, he's better than Cam Jarmer. It's not
he's
even
the best.
Close.
He is the best
right now.
If he's healthy. And then that's the caveat, the if.
Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, Tim Dettillier, former Lutcher football coach, will join us next here on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike, Bobby, and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Tim Dettillier joining us now, former Lutcher head football coach. Known him quite some time. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
Good. So what was it like to see Jarvis Landry land with the Saints, having coached him in high school?
Well, you know, it's a celebration. Unless, you know, once you're a Lutcher Bulldog, you're always a Lutcher Bulldog. So I think the whole town is still celebrating. They may even get a few more season ticket holders if they got tickets available.
Tim, if we had one more to tell you here, we'd have us the family reunion. I told you that we called. But,
I can arrange that.
Man, listen, I'm all ready for it. Maybe we have to do it tomorrow night. I got something a little bit later tonight. But we can do it tomorrow night. You and I both knew about this with Jarvis. No matter where you would have played him, he'd have been the best player on the field. And you got a story about that because he, you know, no matter what you did, man, he was the best cat on that field. It's unbelievable. You don't get a lot of athletes like that in your time frame.
No, I was blessed my whole career. I had some really good athletes. But Jarvis Landry, although he could have played all those sports, he was a football player. If you just went up to him and, like, hugged him, put your hand around, his body was as hard as a brick house. I mean, he was just, you know, he wasn't a – I mean, he worked out with the weights and stuff, but his body was just hard, whether he worked out with the weights or not. He was a football player. If I put him at linebacker, he was the best linebacker on the field. He could have been running back. He probably could have been quarterback. You know, we put him in the secondary. Wherever we put him, he was the best. But, of course, he was a receiver. That's what he wanted to be. And, you know, of course, the way I like to throw the football, you know, that's where I wanted him. But his hands, besides being big, it's the strongest hands I've ever seen anywhere. I know I told you the story. I think it was his junior year. We got third and long, about the 40-yard line, and quarterback throws the pass. It's kind of overthrown. He's in the front corner of the end zone. The ball is actually out of bounds. He's keeping his balance in, but he catches the ball by the back cone, you know, the white stripe that's last on the ball. He catches that with his fingers. Now, do you realize how strong your hands have to be? I mean, 3/4 of the ball is already past you, and yet he catches that back third of the football. You know, we played that one 100 times in the office. It's just an unbelievable catch. But, you know, Jarvis did that every single day.
And, you know, Coach Dettillier, to me, what I've been more impressed from the get-go since he ended the pros is that his consistency. And you could be consistently bad or consistently good, very good, great at times. But in NFL history, he's been one of the NFL's most consistent receivers since he entered the league in 2014. When you think about this, you could count on him. Now, as of late, you know, he got hurt, but he had averaged 86 receptions and 950 yards receiving in his 8 NFL seasons. So it's someone that you could count upon and that you can lean upon. To me, that's what separates him from maybe like a splash like Odell Beckham when he went to the Giants. But Landry has been more consistent. He's been a Michael Thomas type receiver who's done it for more years. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I guess the word is durability. You know, if he got hurt in high school, I don't know about it because he didn't tell me. You know, LSU is the same thing. I don't think he ever missed a game. You know, and I know this year at Cleveland, he had a little problem with his knee. I think, to the best of my knowledge, that's the first time I ever known him to maybe succumb to an injury. But I go back to his body just being so hard and firm. And there's not an ounce of fat on that boy. You know, he's just a hard-nosed athlete. But, you know, he's about winning now, you know. And sometimes you might not always agree what he does or what he says, but the bottom line is he likes to win, you know, and he's gonna do whatever it takes. But he's also, whatever you ask of him, he's going to do it because his passion for the game is second to none.
Now, Coach Dettillier, boy, when you think about in these parts, Saints fans are LSU fans, not all of them, but a lot of them are, and the same thing, vice versa. I mean, LSU fans are Saints fans, whatever it might be. I think as far as the local influence, And you around in these parts. I mean, can you say maybe a better example? I think this is an example of when I was playing back in the 80s, having like a Dalton Hilliard and an Eric Martin contributing at a high level with the Saints, and now the potential of Honey Badger and now Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, I mean, the theme is it seems like everybody's coming home, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think my daughter would ever, since she moved to Texas, I didn't think we'd ever see her again. You know, Texas had all kind of stuff, but it still wasn't home, and she's home. And same thing with Jarvis. You know, like every chance he gets, he comes home, you know, see his mom, see his family. Always, he would have the Jarvis Landry football camp every year. You know, there's a lot of things out there, but Louisiana is home for Jarvis, and I'm glad it worked out.
Tim, you can talk about this because, you know, with receivers, we all talk about how well they can catch the ball, but there's a certain physicality, and also as a run blocker, of how good Jarvis is in that category, because maybe we don't maybe sometimes emphasize that wide receiver throwing that block, but that guy turns the corner and instead of a 4-yard run, it's a 14-yard run. And that's the one thing, man, having watched when he played not only at Lutcher or at LSU and in the NFL, man, Jarvis, he's going to stick his shoulder, his head in there. He's going to throw that key block, but his physicality for not being what you want to call a really big receiver.
Well, along those lines, Coach, to tell you what Mike was saying, I mean, my understanding when he first went to LSU, he's the guy on kickoff and punt coverage going to knock a snot bubble in the opponent.
Tim,
and making tackles.
I told this to Tim. It sounded like he was carting a Louisville slugger, just running downfield. And, man, he would swing that bat, and those guys were falling. And, you know, and he took a lot of pride in playing special teams. But it's his physicality that I think sticks out so much. Yes, he's a great athlete, can catch the football. I think he's a terrific run blocker. But for not being a really big guy, his strength is his physical skills.
Yeah, I could not have said that any better. His physicality is second to none. He's not big. He wasn't considered big in high school. He's definitely not big in the NFL. But his body is hard as a rock. The best example I guess I can give you, I started to notice it in practice. You know, I mean, we were running plays against the defense, and it didn't matter if it was first team, second team, you know. After the first couple of days, all linebackers and secondary was aware of where Jarvis lined up because when he hit you to the middle of next week, you know, and it wasn't a cheap shot. You know, I'm not talking about cheap shots, you know, and everybody became aware. And then, of course, from Saturday morning, you break it down to film stuff, our opponents, you know, was aware of where Jarvis Landry lined up, you know. And he's not going to back down from anybody. And when he hits you, you know you got hit. There's no second down. His physicality is unbelievable, especially for the size of his body. You know, he's not the fastest guy, but he's fast enough. He's not the biggest guy, but he's big enough. And he's as tough as nails.
Tim, talk a little bit about, man, he can throw the football real well. And we've seen it in the NFL. Now, he's a southpaw. But, man, he throws the football on that reverse play really, really well. Did you – I don't remember if you guys had done it, but, man, I know you can throw the football real well.
Well, I'd rather throw it to him, but, yes, we've done that. But, you know, the best thing I could tell you is just a couple of years ago, you know how they have in the offseason, NFL has these challenges.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were in Florida or something. Well, they had, you know, three or four guys on the team. And we go, well, Jarvis, when it came to the throwing, whoever the quarterback was, like he was throwing, he was throwing against the NFL quarterbacks. He won the competition. You know, you had to hit the thing. I watched it on my TV. I can't believe this. You know, but he did. He hit more. See, you know, you got to hit the more moving targets and the big circle thing. You know, and he had more points than any quarterbacks. He won that. I think that's how well he can throw it. There's no doubt about it.
Tim,
I'd like to have him pitch on my baseball team.
Yeah. Tim, the thing, too, is, and I told this story to Christian, that, man, we on the sidelines, guys are playing Vanderbilt Catholic, and it's late in the game, guys are trailing. And to be honest, I think Vanderbilt really that night was maybe the better team. You guys ended up winning, and that's why all it counts. But they threw six passes. Jarvis caught five, and he caught the most important one at the end to win it.
That's right. I used to call the plays, but I had some pretty good coordinators. But they knew when the game's on the line, I'm not worried about what play you call. I'm worried about what player. You know, you that old adage, you don't think of plays, you think of players. And I didn't care what the other team thought because, you know, we going to Jarvis. I mean, we'd be stupid not to go to Jarvis. And sure enough, on the last play, Vanderbilt outplayed us that night. There's no way we should have won that game. And we about, I don't know, 30, 35 yards out. And we know it's the last play of the game. And we know they back. So we throw it to Jarvis, about a 15-yard pass. you know, and somehow, you know, he catches it, but he got it in the end zone. Just enough, you know, his body never did get in the end zone, but that when they
but the ball did him,
that arm that ball in that arm got over it, and you know. And, you know, when I walked across there, it was Lard Dupont was the head coach that time. He was just shaking his head, and I was with him. But, you know, hey, we're going to throw it to Jarvis.
I never forget you telling me, man, it was a couple years before. I don't know, Jarvis maybe was in eighth or ninth grade. You had Goche, and he had won, I think it was the Louisiana High School Player of the Year. And he was saying, Mike, man, you know, Goche's a really good player. But, man, I got one behind him. Man, you'd have to see him to believe him of how good of a player. And I want to say either Jarvis was in middle school or in ninth grade when that happened, because that's a few years difference between Goche and Jarvis.
Well, what they did in the parish, they reorganized the elementary schools and stuff, and so all 7th and 8th graders came to the high school.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if it was the first or second year, but it was early in that, and so Lutcher High School was considered 7 through 12 with one principal, so that makes all the 7th and 8th grades eligible. I think right now they no longer do the 7th and 8th graders at the high school, but they only let the 9th through 12, but you know, we let them, but there's no 7th, 8th graders can play varsity football until, you know, I saw Jarvis in a couple of 7th, 8th grade games, then a 9th grade game, then a JV game. I said, well, let's put a uniform in this boy. You know, and sure enough, you know, we get to the playoff. Guess who's starting off? 8th grader Jarvis Landry.
Well, as an 8th grader, that speaks volumes. And Coach Dettelier, is it something in the water? Or, boy, you look at the reputation around the country in the river parishes, you go to Hawnville, you go to St. James, Lutcher, Destrehan. You go on and on. I'm even talking about
St. Charles Catholic.
St. Charles Catholic. I'm talking about even old school A.J. Dewey.
And St. James.
Yeah, I said St. James. Yeah. But you look at all that. I mean, it's amazing. And then now nobody flies under the radar. They all know about the River Parish and the athletes that come out of there.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, as a little kid, you idolize, of course, those high school players and what have you, because it's big time. You know, I mean, I don't care who we're playing. You come on a Friday night, the stands are going to be packed. You know, it's just that important. You know, but I don't know. Me and Coach O used to talk about it. You know, and I talked to Mike earlier about that. Like, I guess he saw it as his ticket out of town. You know, and then he grew up really on the river. Right across from the levee, him and his mom, and of course, Gerard Landry, who's pretty good athlete.
Yeah, yep.
Pretty good.
Did he go to Georgia Tech?
He went to Southern.
To Southern, okay.
Yeah. He went to Southern. He had offers the other way. That's another story for another day. We're not going to get into that.
And that story about how Coach O was trying to recruit him, that's because he was at SC, him and Kiffin at that time. Yeah. Man, that's a long
one. Right. Yeah, it is, and I'm most probably, if I tell you the true story, you're gonna have to cut the air off. but it is a true story. Yeah, but anyway, all I'm saying is, you know, his mom raised him right. You know, I don't know if it was that they take it out, but they seem to work harder. You know, and they wasn't well off at all, but you know, they did what they had to do. You know,
Coach,
very successful.
We've seen it now, and Christian and I spoke about this yesterday, about the success of the baseball teams in the area, and I know that that's something close to your heart also. We've seen Vanderbilt Catholic win, South Terrebonne Gators, first time ever they win a state championship in baseball. What happened in the southern part of the parish in Terrebonne, Lafourche, well known, but how hard LaPlace gets hit, and Lutcher wins their fifth. And then last night, St. Charles Catholic and Wayne Stein, he wins a state football championship, and then he's part of a state baseball state championship. Tim, I don't ever remember that. Not in my lifetime, I don't remember another person having that in the same year.
Boy, Coach, to tell you, you never want a hurricane to come, boy, but it sure worked magic for baseball.
For four teams.
Yeah, I can't say enough about Wayne Stein, but I got to say this. Somewhere behind there, I got to mention his name, Frankie Monica.
Yep.
Baseball actually was my first love, and I was hired at Lutcher. I was the head baseball coach. you know, but everything I knew, I mean, Frank was a, I mean, he played at Nichols. I forget the coach's name, but man, he was just an expert at, in baseball, and you learn so much about it. Then I got to go watch St. Charles this year, and you know, and I could see all the little Frankie Monica stuff and what he does. And you know, so I got to mention his name because I know that's where I learned most of my baseball, and obviously that's where Wayne learned most of his. And just sound fundamentally. I mean, just a little bitty things that you never think about teaching that you don't pick up, you know, and you won't notice if you just go to a baseball game, you know. But it's just a, from the base running to the defensive alignment, it's just so I saw his fingerprints on it. But that is a just a great story. You know, we had to play, we had to practice and play away to the second month of the season because our baseball facility was done, you know, but fortunately by the time district, you know, we got it back, you know, and played. And same thing with St. Charles, you know, it's just what a story. You know, if they make a movie about it, you're not going to believe it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's true.
Tim DeTillier, former Lutcher football head coach. Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim.
Hey, thanks for remembering me. I don't get too many phone calls. I really appreciate this.
Well, when you coach a guy like Jarvis Landry, you're always on the radar. So
well, I remember, Tim, I remember coming up through WWL covering high school football. You were one of the guys one of the first guys I covered in high school football, and you were always awesome to talk to. So.
Tim's always got that line. Man, if I'm talking to you in November, life is good.
Yeah,
because I know what that means.
Well,
if you ain't practicing during the Thanksgiving holidays, you must probably don't have a job.
Yeah, you got to do something else. But Christian, as we go on to break, let me tell you where the Saints are at with Jarvis Landry
right.
Edition.
Hold on, let's think about it, Coach.
Okay,
thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Hey, thank you.
All right, cool.
All right.
So, Christian, think about this. Didn't our receiving or just reception yards like El Succo? Okay, I'm going to elaborate on this. Now, you look outside of Michael Thomas, the Saints, okay, now think about this, how this is nothing to talk about. You don't want to get this conversation. Outside of Michael Thomas, the Saints have not had a wide receiver post more than 800 yards receiving in a season since Brandon Cooks in 2016. That's about 1,000. Okay. Outside of Michael Thomas, the Saints have not had a wide receiver post more than 800 yard receiving in a season since Brandon Cook 2016. The Saints finished the season ranked last in the NFL in passing. As a second-year receiver, Marquez Callaway led the team with 698 yards receiving. Right now, he's like the fourth banana or the fifth banana. Right, we have literally gone from the outhouse to the penthouse, our receiving core. We can hang with the whole NFL, the weapons we have now at wide receiver. Come on, Jameis.
Bobby Hebert, Mike DeTillier, Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here. Coming to see you, Earl, in just a few moments. This is WWL. All right, let's go to Earl on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines in New Orleans. Go ahead, Earl. We've got about 2 minutes.
Christian, how y'all doing today, man?
Good, thank you.
All right, Earl.
All right, Earl.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Bobby. A huge fan. I love all y'all guys. But, hey, Bobby, I'm seeing on social media, and it's kind of pissing me off a little bit, a few people bashing Drew and all this. And look, but when he was playing in that game against Tampa, he was 24-6, man, playing with a busted lung, broken ribs.
Right.
Why not give the guy at least a shot to even – for what he's done for us and everything, Bobby.
You talk about a shot in the NFL? A shot in the NFL, you mean? Like,
yeah, man, try out for the Shank to come back if he wants to play. You know, I don't know, but you know.
Try out. No.
He don't want to try out, and he's not going to play anymore.
He wants to be the man. But if he wanted to play, Earl, you cannot tell me there's 32 better quarterbacks than Drew Brees right now. Wouldn't I tell him, Mikey Christian, this?
You're just fanning the flames of those things that are
okay,
you're
going to go with Drew Locke over Drew Brees with the Seahawks? I can name four or five teams. Drew Brees would be a better option within our division. Okay, you want to go with Marcus Mariota than Drew Brees with Atlanta? Or you want to go with, what's going on in Carolina? Are you going to go with Sam Darnold? Or listen. Drew Brees.
But his playing days are over.
But if he truly wanted to play, there's not 32 quarterbacks better than him. Now, I'm not saying you – now, do you humble yourself and you just want to be a starter in the NFL? I'm not saying you'd be the best of the best, but it's not 32 guys better than Drew Brees right now. The way he would train and prepare and what he knows mentally and how he can lead a team, there's not 32 starting quarterbacks better than Drew Brees. There isn't. Y'all know, look, every year, year in and year out, we got 32 teams. There's not, there's maybe 10 to 12 franchise quarterbacks at most. Then you got legitimate starters. There's probably 8, 10, if not even 12 guys that the teams are looking for another guy. So if Drew Brees truly wanted to play, he can play, but I think he's just blowing smoke.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.